in preparation for their adventure, decided to go hiking. At the end of a long day, they pitched their tent under the stars and went to sleep. Sometime in the middle of the night, Holmes woke up Watson and said, "Watson, look up and tell me what you see." Watson replied, "I see millions and millions of stars." Holmes said, "What do you make of that?" Watson replied, "Well, if there are millions of stars and only a few have planets, it's quite likely that some planets might be like Earth out there." "And what else, Watson?" "Well, there might also be life." Holmes, in a rather exasperated tone, "Watson, it means someone has stolen our tent." We, like Watson and the disciples, Peter, James and John, often fail to see the obvious until someone points it out. Jesus is exalted and glorified on the mountain, and they suddenly and overwhelmingly encounter not the everyday Jesus who they knew, but a different Jesus in front of them. The Jesus who had been there all the time, but they hadn't seen. Mark's gospel is a great travel guide if you like mountains. Mark, he likes his mountains. They have mountains dotted along the landscape of the biblical regions, and they've got significant symbolic value for us today. Mark recalls many trips of Jesus to mountainous sites. And it reminds me how much I love the mountains, and mountains have to be amongst my favourite places. 2 years ago, my husband Tom and I went to Jordan, and we stood on Mount Nebo, almost in the same place as Moses stood, facing Jerusalem, awestruck. We knew it was the promised land. Mark's mountains are the mountains of this land, the mountains of Jesus, not too far away from where we were standing. Jesus prayed on mountains. Jesus fed 5,000 people on a mountainside. He preached his famous Sermon on the Mount from another mountain. He entered Jerusalem and ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. And for us, he was crucified on Mount Calvary. There are so many stories involving Jesus and mountains, but this one is unusual. In today's reading, Jesus walks with Peter, James and John up the mountainside for what started off as another of his hikes. Come with me. Let's imagine it and go with them. The mountain is familiar terrain. The sun is beating down on your head, and we need to escape from the noisy crowd asking Jesus to touch them, to heal them, to go somewhere with them. We need to go where the air is cooler and the crowd can be left behind. As we put one step in front of the other, we look back to the people below, and smaller they become. We can see the views around, the hills, the pasture, the goats, and the shepherd tending his sheep. You can smell the clearer air now and feel the breeze. You can hear stones crunching under your feet. One step further, one step higher. You can see the top. You follow Jesus, and he leads you on. At the top of the mountain, you feel closer to God. You are more focused on what's around and see more clearly what's in front of you. Mountains have always been special. They are often places where God feels near, a place of solitude and quiet. Suddenly, Jesus is transfigured before them. He is talking to Moses and Elijah, who themselves encountered God on the mountains of the Old Testament. This is something very significant. Jesus is changed in front of their eyes in glorious technicolor. Verse 3, "And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white." They saw Jesus as they had never seen him before. They thought they knew him. They had talked with him. They had listened to him. They had witnessed his miracles, went fishing with him, ate ordinary meals and wedding meals with him. But now they saw his glory and the face of the divine. Jesus was not changed into something new, neither was he added to in some way. Rather, the transfiguration showed his disciples who he really was. They had a clearer vision of Jesus that day, truly divine, truly human, truly the Son of God. It is a pivotal moment. Jesus is seen as the fulfillment of the law of Moses and the fulfillment of all those prophecies that we've heard, represented here by Elijah. The disciples standing on top of the mountain hear God's voice. We hear God's voice. We do not know what to make of it all. One step further, one step higher, further, higher. Mountains seem to be the place where God loves to speak. Jewish scriptures and traditions tell us of various events like this, when the veil of the ordinary that normally prevents us from seeing the inside of a situation is drawn back and a deeper truth is revealed. In the Celtic Christian tradition, these are thin places where the veil is parted between heaven and earth, between eternal and the everyday. Thin places transform us. The veil parts and we know ourselves to be different. Jesus led the disciples to a thin place, a place where they hear God's voice, where they see Jesus in divine light. We too are invited to thin places where we can encounter Jesus, although we don't generally experience things quite as dramatically. Jesus is always leading us to places where we can meet him, on our own mountain roads, to a meeting place with God, where God can be seen and heard more clearly, where the sense of the divine presence is strong. It can be in your own garden, your own home, your own church here on a Sunday. It can be on a beach, your own mountaintop, wherever it is. When it happens, it tends to be hugely important and life-changing. Peter, James and John heard the voice of God. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And we hear the same advice directly from the mountain today. Peter, never short of an idea, blurts the first thing that comes into his head. Actually, I can be a bit like Peter, where the mouth engages quicker than the brain. I call it being an activist, but my husband calls it something else. But Peter, in verse 5, "It's great to be here. I tell you what, we'll make 3 shelters. Well, he didn't know what to say. "Let us build 3 headstones to this great occurrence." Surely this mountaintop experience had to be savoured, prolonged and remembered. They could make it into a festival. The theologian Tom Wright comments that the sheer oddity of this bumbling suggestion is in itself strong evidence of the story's truth. No one inventing it would lower the tone of the occasion in such a manner. Peter speaks, but God wanted him to listen, truly listen. Our prayers are often talking prayers, active prayers. Sometimes we need to be silent in order to hear the voice of God. Mountaintops are wonderful, but you have to come down again. It's Monday morning and you've got blisters and sore feet. Jesus walked back down the mountain that day and headed to Jerusalem towards the cross. He is vulnerable, but he will be glorified again. Jesus had led Peter, James and John in a new discovery of God and of himself. They could not stay on the mountain, but neither did they leave it. They took the experience with them. It carried them through the crucifixion. Peter remembers it much later and refers back to this event in his second letter. "Jesus was revealed to us. We were witnesses to his majesty." The transfiguration appears to have been a turning point in Peter's understanding. This passing moment leaves its impact. As we walk with Jesus, one step further, one step higher, further, higher, we too can see him as we have never seen him before. You have been with me to the mountaintop. The voice of God tells us what to do. Listen to him. Three simple words. A simple instruction. Listen to him. Listen, listen, listen. Listen to him because he is the living word of the living God. Listen to him when he says, he will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Listen to him when he says, he is the bread of life. Listen to him when he says, love one another. Listen to him when he says that we can share in his resurrection too. Jesus, Peter, James and John and us have been to the mountaintop and heard the voice of the Father. Listen to the Son. Create space for God. Thin space where we can do what God has asked of us, where we can listen to Jesus. Listen to the word through reading scripture. Listen to God through prayer. And listen to the Holy Spirit in a quiet place. Mark's gift to us from the travel guide of his beloved mountains is in this chapter 9. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our ears, Lord, and teach us to listen. As we stay seated, may our prayer be the words of that song. Amen.